Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph. Here, Pastor Adam.
Hey.
So today we're on episode 245, and we are starting a brand new series called Counterfeit Christianity.
Yes, it might be one of the most uncomfortable series we've done so far. We're going to spend some time talking about fake versions of Christianity, and maybe more in particular, like not like a different religion or something, but just ways in which different parts of our faith can become very counterfeit. These fake versions can look close enough to fool people, but they are far enough away to completely miss Jesus. And so we're going to spend some time talking through those. So today we're going to talk about counterfeit grace. Grace is a massive part of the Christian faith. It is our foundation. It is the foundation of our relationship with Jesus. And it's funny how Steph and I, just before we started this podcast, out of the blue, you were talking about how thankful you are for grace.
Yes.
It's crazy. It's the biggest part of our Christianity, right? Mm-hmm. Grace is the biggest piece, right? Because, I mean, think about, everything is based on the grace of God and the grace through Jesus Christ that is very unique amongst Christianity to other religions, right? And we believe that, obviously, that we are sinful and we've fallen short and we don't deserve to be in a relationship with God. And yet through his massive unending grace, through his sacrifice of Jesus, we have the ability to be in relationship with him, not just follow the do's and don'ts of his religion, right?
Right.
So grace is a really, really big thing. It's the foundation for this relationship that we can have with an almighty perfect God. Like, there's no way for us to have a relationship with a perfect God because we are so imperfect unless there's some grace in between all that, right? And that's the whole point. And so we're going to talk about counterfeit grace. And I think this is actually a really good episode. There's a lot of notes on it, so I'm going to try to stay tight to the notes. And we don't usually have a whole lot of notes, but this one we got a lot of them. Counterfeit grace, this is a version of grace that our culture has created. This grace, it comforts you, but it never changes you. And that's what makes it counterfeit. This grace excuses everything but transforms nothing. This kind of grace removes conviction, repentance, holiness, and surrender. One of the most dangerous things happening in modern Christianity is that people have accepted a version of grace that sounds very loving, but actually leaves people very trapped, right?
That's true.
And so if you're thinking, all right, well, Adam, what do you mean by this counterfeit fake grace? How can it leave somebody trapped? Well, what I mean by that is you feel forgiven, right? You feel this level of forgiven in your soul, but it doesn't actually lead to a changed heart, right? You just think it does. And that's why it's a trap, right? That's why it's fake. That's why it's the perfect design from the enemy, right? Here's this grace. Oh, God loves you. It doesn't matter what you do, right? And so you feel forgiven and you feel loved, but your heart has not changed. And the entire goal of following Christ, like what Christ really cares about, is he cares about our heart being changed. And so if you're sitting around going, I'm fine, no big deal, right? I don't have to change anything because I feel loved and forgiveness, and your heart's not actually changing, then you're in trouble because God actually cares about, Jesus cares about the heart. That's right. That's why this counterfeit grace is sort of a trap. Biblical grace or real grace does not simply forgive you. Real grace changes you. Right. See, counterfeit grace is this thing that's just, oh, I'm fine. I can be me. Right. God loves me. He forgives me as I am. You know what I mean? But it doesn't really lead to a heart change. That's why it's a trap. But real grace is going to forgive you. But at the same time, it is always moving you forward. Like the picture we just painted a minute ago of we're imperfect people, sinful people. God's perfect. How in the world could we be in a relationship with him except for grace? So that means that grace is by nature helping us mold and become more like Jesus to begin with, right? So real grace isn't just giving you forgiveness, it's changing you. I say this kind of carefully because I never want people to hear condemnation where what Jesus offers us is mercy, right? I don't want you to hear us being condemning to you when we know that Jesus offers tons and tons and tons of mercy. So you're not saved by perfection. That's not what I'm saying, right? And you're not saved by performance. And you're not saved because you cleaned yourself up. You are saved by Jesus, right? By grace, through faith, completely, fully, entirely. But that same grace that saves you also begins transforming you. If the grace you are experiencing in Jesus is not transforming you, it's counterfeit. It's fake. It's not real.
Right.
Right. If it's just giving you a warm hug, but it's not moving you in the direction of godliness, moving you in the direction of becoming more like Jesus, then it's no good. It's not gonna take anywhere. It's counterfeit. Counterfeit grace is a version of grace that asks for absolutely nothing in return, right? And so it's like, oh, here's your grace. There's no real repentance. There's no surrender. There's no obedience. There's no holiness. It's just belief without transformation. Look, that is not grace. That is not biblical grace. That is a cheap alternative. That is a counterfeit to what biblical grace is. Here's what grace really is. It's here's what this counterfeit grace really is. It's spiritual permission disguised as grace, right? That's what this fake grace is. This fake grace is, here's permission to sort of do whatever you want to do, and we're going to call that grace. That has never been, never will it be, what real biblical Christ grace is.
Right.
Right? That is what the counterfeit grace is doing. What counterfeit grace is doing is saying, you can do what you want, you can be who you want, you don't have to change anything, right? And it's calling itself grace, but that's not really what grace is. Matter of fact, let's look at this real quick. Romans 6, 1 through 7. This is a long little piece of scripture, but it's really good. It goes perfectly, if I've explained what we're talking about so far very well, which I probably hadn't. Romans 6, 1 through 7, Steph.
Okay. Also, you have. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or do you know, don't you know, that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin.
Such an incredible verse mm-hmm. based on this, right? Because it's giving you a picture of what real grace looks like. Before I go back to the first couple of verses, let's just stop for a second. This old self has been crucified. In other words, he loved us. He found us. He gave us grace as this old self. But then as we walked in that grace, as we become followers of him, we die to that old stuff, right? And we're being changed, molded. The best word here is sanctified towards it. See what I'm saying?
I love that word.
Like grace is not just, here, we'll go churchy for a minute. Maybe this is how I should have said the first part of it. Grace is not just a justifying grace. That means a salvation grace. It's also a sanctifying grace, right?
Amen.
So grace is not just getting out of hell free card, right? It's also changing and molding you. So the picture here is that he's found us as this old man, this old woman in sin. We've died to that because of his grace. He's brought us into his grace, right? He's brought us into his mercy. And then because we've died to that, now we live like him, right? We're trying to live like he lives. That's the whole point of it, right? That's what grace really does. And if you go back to those first two verses, they're really interesting. He's sort of giving a, he's posing this question that everybody knows the answer to. Right. What's the first verse say again, Steph? The very first part.
What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase?
Yeah. So he goes. If grace is just about forgiving us of what we've done and letting us do whatever we want, right? So we just should just keep on sinning then, because we can do whatever the hell we want to do. I just said hell. You can do whatever the hell we want to do because sin is covered by grace. And so he's like. So grace will just keep going and be more grace, right?
Because we just
do what we want. And then he goes, by no means, right? He mm-hmm. goes, no, that is idiotic. That doesn't right. even make any sense. Like Paul is literally addressing this exact issue that we're talking about right now, counterfeit grace. People are saying, well, if grace covers sin, then sin doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter at all. Like if Jesus forgives me, it doesn't really matter what I do. So I can do whatever I want because all this grace is going to cover it. And Paul's response is basically, you're completely missing the point of grace.
Yeah.
Right? Because grace is not just this never-ending thing of forgiveness. It transforms you. When you realize that God forgives you, right? When you realize that he loves you and he forgives you, it then transforms you to want to not live, this is a weird way to say it, not live up to the grace, but live from that grace, right?
Yeah, totally.
It's see, counterfeit grace is, I feel good about myself, God loves me, it doesn't matter what I do, right? And there's no real transformation. Real grace always transforms. It always pushes us to more and more surrender, more and more holiness. It's not, that verse is talking specifically about what we said a minute ago, that counterfeit grace is spiritual permission disguised as grace. It's not really grace. And so, you know, when Paul's basically saying, hey, look, you've completely missed the point. Grace is not God pretending that sin doesn't matter. Grace is God loving sinners enough to rescue them from what destroys them, right? And that's very, very different. Counterfeit grace says God understands. Biblical grace says God understands and he's calling you higher,
so
right?
True.
He's calling you to something better. Counterfeit grace removes this tension. There's no tension here then, right? But biblical grace creates transformation. The tension is what causes the transformation. That's what grace gives. Grace gives you a very big tension point. If God loves me, sees me how exactly how I am, could not love me more than he loves me right now, sees me exactly how I am, all the stuff that I do, and he still loves me, he still gives me grace, then that creates this tension of, I must do something with that grace then. And it leads you into transformation. See, counterfeit grace is absolutely everywhere now. One of the reasons it spreads so easily is because conviction is sort of uncomfortable. Right, it's really uncomfortable to be convicted about something. Nobody really likes conviction. Conviction exposes things. Conviction confronts things. Conviction shines light into places that we would rather keep hidden. But conviction is not condemnation. And that's really important to pay attention to. Condemnation says that you are hopeless. Conviction says come back, right? And a good way to look at this too is the whole condemnation is from the enemy. Right? Convictions from the Holy Spirit. And so condemnation will constantly attack in a shameful way who you are as a person, whereas conviction's just talking about the sin, right? Because you're covered in grace. Condemnation pushes you away from God. Conviction is pulling you back towards him constantly. Mm. So real grace is both compassionate and confrontational, right? That's what real grace really is. If you look at Jesus with the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8, he protects her dignity. He silences the accusers. He refuses to crush her himself, accuse her himself. But then he says at the end of it, the very end of it, go and sin no more, right? Like, she's caught in this. When you see in that scripture when it says she's caught in the act of adultery, what you basically need to know is that means she's guilty, right? Caught in the act is going, there's no doubt that the woman is guilty. Now, of course, whoever the man was with her is guilty too. He ain't in the story. You know what I mean? They've removed him, right? The people who caught her have brought her to him. She's caught in the act, which means she's guilty. It also probably means she's nude. She's probably naked, right? In other words, fully, completely exposed in front of Jesus.
Right.
Right? I said this in a sermon recently. We've been doing this I Am series, and man, I can't get away from this thought. What does it feel like to be completely, fully exposed in front of perfect, holy, righteous Jesus? Right? It sounds scary. It's actually where real freedom is. It's actually very free. It's actually very safe. Right? So she's in front of him, fully guilty. Right? That's the reason it says caught in the act. You'd know right off the bat that she's guilty. She's probably completely exposed, not just morally exposed, right? Mm-hmm. Not just her reputation, but physically exposed. And yet, it's a safe place to be. And so what does he actually do? He preserves her. He gives her this love and this care and this grace. But then he also, at the same time, says, go and sin no more. See, counterfeit Christianity loves the first part of that story. I see what you're doing. I love you. They don't accuse you. I don't accuse you. But counterfeit Christianity is way less comfortable with the second half of that story. Because it's not just, hey, I love you, those bad people treated you wrong, you do you, boo, right? He loves her, he preserves her dignity, but at the same time, he ends up confronting her about it at the end. He says, leave your life of sin, go and sin no more. So counterfeit Christianity gets very upset with that second half of that, because we want a Jesus who comforts us without confronting us, right? And that's how you know it's fake, right? It's fake. If you've got this faith, this grace, this, I don't know what the word is, but if you're seeing Jesus as someone who comforts but doesn't confront, it's not real, because that's not what real love does. That's not what he does in this story at all. A Jesus who never confronts you is a Jesus you invented.
That is so true.
It's not real.
Right.
Jesus is never going to, if he truly loves us, right, then he is going to always confront, because real love confronts. Real grace loves you enough to tell you the truth.
And it's freeing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this on this podcast lots of times,
yeah,
about the definition of a real friend. The definition of a real friend is somebody who loves you enough to risk you hating them to tell you the truth, right?
That's right.
And this is how you can see the exact same thing with this, right? A fake friend lets you do you and fall off the cliff, right? The real friend goes, nah, I love you, and I love you enough to keep you. I'm going to do all I can to keep you from jumping off this cliff, right? In other words, you're headed towards danger, and a fake friend goes, have fun, see you on the other side. And the real friend instead goes, no, I have to confront this with them. And that's what we mean with counterfeit grace versus real grace and counterfeit Jesus, right? If you are following a Jesus who comforts you only and does not confront you, you invented that Jesus. He is not real. That is not the Jesus of Scripture. Right, it's not him, and that wouldn't be a good friend anyway. So if you just pause for a second, you realize it's fake, because who really? I mean, think about a good parent. A good parent is not just saying, "Do whatever you want, and I'll supply you whatever you want, and then wherever you go, I'll just tell you it's okay." Right, and when you fall down, I'll just tell you no big deal. A real parent is going to help protect you from doing those things, which is going to be some confrontation. And then when you do fall, of course they're going to help, but then what are they going to do? They're going to confront the issue that led you to that spot in the first place. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If my kids call me for saving, I'm going to save them. But you best believe that we are going to be working next on whatever they did to get themselves in that situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
And I love my kids enough that I will risk them. Me and Valerie actually talk about this all the time, right? We will risk them hating us to do what's right for them, right? And you can hate me for that. I've had friends, very, very close friends, in this church, in this ministry, who I did what was best for them, and they hate me for it,
yeah,
right, to this day. But that's me being a real friend, right? And that's what we're talking about, right? Jesus is not someone who just comforts. It's also confrontation of the sin, right? Real grace is loving us and forgiving us, but at the same time, it's transforming us, calling us higher, right? Calling us deeper, calling us out. You know what I mean? Like, real grace calls you out,
yeah,
right? And it's the safest place to be. Like, this picture of this in Scripture is so safe. He loves her and cares for her. She's fully exposed. And at the same moment, he calls her out on her sin that got her to that point to begin with, you know, which is interesting too, because in that story, there's a lot of people that are sinful in that story. And so just because there's some people who've done something to her doesn't take away what she has also done, right? You know what I mean? So I don't know. That's probably the best line of this episode, is a Jesus who never confronts you is a Jesus you invented.
Mm-hmm.
The great lie in modern fake counterfeit Christianity is that transformation is optional, right? That you don't have to really be transformed. And that's just not accurate. The New Testament never, ever, ever presents grace as permission to remain unchanged forever, right? Ever. And as a matter of fact, Jesus tells you this is the same thing with all of his references to the vine and to fruit, right? Constantly. That it takes time for good fruit to grow, right? But fruit is an indication that there's been a root change there. And that's the whole point. Like, never does the New Testament give us permission to not be changed. Look at Titus chapter 2, 11 through 14. This is a great, great verse.
Mm-hmm.
It goes with this so well.
Okay. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good.
Yeah. So think about what he just said. Grace has appeared to us. So it's talking about the grace of God is actually Jesus personifying that grace of God. He's appeared to us. And then it says that that grace, once it appears to us, it teaches us. It trains us, right? Not through fear or you got to earn it, but through real love. And so what when you encounter grace, it is then teaching you and training you. And if you keep reading that verse, which you just saw, it is teaching us and training us. So you encounter the grace, it teaches us and training us to live upright, holy, righteous lives all the way until the moment where he comes back to get us. That's the whole point, right? So when we experience grace, grace teaches and trains us how to continue to live and walk in surrender and in holiness. We're going to come back to that verse at the very end of this episode. Excuse me. A clear sign that you have settled for counterfeit grace, and so therefore counterfeit Christianity, is when you become defensive anytime obedience is mentioned, right? The minute that surrender or obedience is discussed, you think, don't judge me, right? You use the phrase, only God can judge. You say stuff like, nobody's perfect. You say, God knows my heart, you don't know my heart, right? That is a key sign or tell that you have encountered some counterfeit grace, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because all it's doing is excusing away the behavior afterwards, after the encounter with grace. You know what? God does know your heart, and that's actually the terrifying part, right? Because he knows a heart that has experienced his grace and forgiveness and then is not transformed by it. It's not real heart change. That's what we were talking about at the beginning. Honestly, the reason you settle for counterfeit grace is because you don't really want real grace. What you really want is relief. You want relief from the guilt that you feel. You want relief from the tension that's there, but you don't really want real grace. We want temporary peace without permanent surrender. We want forgiveness without obedience. We want comfort without change. Jesus says that's not real grace. So that's not real faith either, right? It's complete counterfeit. The enemy would love for you and I to buy this, because it keeps us trapped. It just gives us this sense of, I'm okay with the Lord, but we're not being transformed and growing. In other words, there's no heart change happening. And if that's not there, then there's a really, really big issue. It's not real Christianity. It's not real faith, because it hasn't experienced real grace, right? And you haven't experienced the real Jesus if you haven't been comforted and confronted. Like when I think about my faith on a daily basis, I feel two things equally, almost always, right? I feel this overwhelming sense of love and peace, right? It's like a big soul hug that I feel. No mm-hmm. matter what I'm doing, no matter where I'm from, I just feel this overwhelming sense that God loves me. He's got a plan for me, a purpose for me. You know what I mean? And at the same time, I feel this overwhelming conviction to be better, to do better,
yeah.
to abide in him more. You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense?
It does make sense.
And that's what real grace does. That's what I'm trying to explain, right? If all you ever experience when you think about Jesus is this big warm soul hug, right? And then you can do whatever you want, then that's not real grace. It's counterfeit. Because it's the experience of encountering a real Jesus is this idea that he loves you and meets you where you are, but at the same time, he is calling you further and deeper and higher. And he's not going to allow you to be owned by the stuff that the grace is freeing you from. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I feel those two things at the same time. Like even when I'm down on myself, I feel overwhelmingly that God loves me. And at the same time, I feel the need to, this has got to go out of my life. Why do I keep thinking this? Why do I keep acting like this? Why do I keep saying this? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I get
why
that.
Why do I keep going back here? Why does this thing keep controlling me, right? I feel this desire in my heart to be more like Jesus. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's what real grace does. That's what I'm trying to say in this episode. Real grace refuses to leave you where it found you, right? It doesn't just leave you in the mess. And that's what a good father does. A good father doesn't celebrate what destroys his children. He rescues them from it, right? He doesn't just pat you on the head and go, oh, this is destroying you. Well, I still love you and everything's awesome. Just continue to be destroyed. That's not a good father. Nobody would agree that that's a good father. Nobody would agree that that's a good friend. He rescues us from the things that we're being destroyed by, right? Loves us through it. It's not like he doesn't love us. He loves us, but that's the whole point. The way that you can see how much God loves you is through what real grace looks like. He loves you enough to find you where you are, love you in it. But then that real grace, that real love, he loves you enough to not let you stay there. That's the whole point.
Right.
So real grace refuses to leave you where it found you. Counterfeit grace is very attractive because it allows us to keep Jesus without surrendering control of our lives. Right? It allows us to have this nice little frilly faith and we love Christ and he's so awesome and amazing without actually giving him control. This is what I like to say. I've said it a lot of times on this podcast too. Everybody wants Jesus as Savior. Not everybody wants Jesus as Lord. That's the difference.
Ooh.
That's the difference, right? That is the difference.
Jeez.
Counterfeit grace, counterfeit Christianity is Jesus is Savior in our lives, right? He loves me where I'm at. He won't let me go to hell, right? I can do what I want, even if I don't really want to, but I can do these things. I can keep making these mistakes or whatever, and Jesus just loves me. That's Jesus as Savior. And everybody wants Jesus as Savior because everybody knows that they got problems and issues, right? But Jesus as Lord is where we know we've experienced real grace. And not everybody wants Jesus as Lord, right? Counterfeit Christianity is really, really tempting because it lets us have Jesus Savior. But it doesn't give us Jesus Lord. And if you pay attention to what Jesus says, he will say to you, that's not real faith in me, right? Because there's no real heart change there happening. And he has to be both. He is Savior and he is Lord. Those are the two tent poles of real, real grace. Christianity has never been about adding Jesus to your life. It's been about giving him your life, right?
Yep, you're
it's
right.
It's not add the good things of Jesus to it. It's about him owning your life. In other words, him being Lord of it all. And if your version of grace never changes you, then it's not grace, right? If you are experiencing the fact that God loves you and cares for you in your mess, and that does not change you, that does not lead to fruit abiding in him, then it's not real grace. It's not a grace encounter. It is a counterfeit, fake version of it that the enemy dangles in front of you to give you just enough Jesus to make you think you're okay, when really you're not at all. And you're going to end up at the point where you're in front of Jesus at some point, and he says, depart from me, I never knew you, right? That's the problem with the whole thing. If you go back to read Titus chapter 2 again, at the very end of it, notice it says, so it said that grace has appeared to us. So Jesus has come to us. The personification of the full grace of God is in the personhood of Jesus. And then that teaches us and trains us to be holy and righteous. Go back about right there, Steph, and read on through it again.
Okay. Okay. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good.
Right. So notice, grace appears to us, it teaches and trains us, and then all that verse is talking about next is that Jesus is returning to find. Who is he returning to find? A purified people. Another translations will say a purified bride, right? Like a people who are about his business, a people who have been changed. I mean, think about that. That verse is exactly what is going to happen. He is going to return back, and however he returns, whatever that looks like. I don't know. That's a podcast for another day, right? He is going to return, and what is he going to find? Who are his people? His people are those who have experienced the grace. Look at the beginning of the verse. Experienced the grace, and it has taught them, it has trained them, it has changed them to be a holy people. That's what real grace does. And that day is approaching. So what that means is that if you read between the lines of that verse, Jesus is going to return back, and he is going to find two groups of people. He's going to find the people he just talked about, his people who have experienced his grace and are now becoming holy, right? They're becoming more and more holy. They're purified, right? They're about his business. And then he's going to find a hold of this, because this is what the verse is giving you. It's giving you another layer. In other words, he's also going to find people who are not his people because they have experienced that grace. They've seen that grace. They've heard that grace. And yet it has not taught them, trained them, change them, and they're not becoming a holy people. In other words, they've settled for a counterfeit version. And Jesus is going to return, and his people are defined by being changed by his grace, being transformed by his grace. That's what real grace is, right? And there's a whole lot of counterfeit grace going on in the world. There's a lot of counterfeit Christianity, mm-hmm. and it's not real because it is based on add all the good things of Jesus to your life and leave out what you don't want. That's not real grace. That's not real faith. All right? I'll say my good line one more time. I'll say my good line. A Jesus who never confronts you is a Jesus you invented. It's not real, right? Counterfeit grace is just this spiritual permission to do whatever you want and let the grace cover it. And what Jesus is referring to is that is not what real grace looks like, because real grace always changes us. It transforms us. You can see this all throughout Scripture, everywhere. Mm-hmm. And what's cool is if you look at just Jesus interacting directly with women in the Scriptures, you will see this exactly play out the same way. So the same thing that happens with the woman at the well, I mean, the woman caught in adultery is the same thing that happens with the woman at the well, right? He meets her there. He acknowledges her. He talks to her. He gives her dignity and respect, whereas because she wouldn't be spoken to it by anybody at the well. It's definitely not a man like that. And yet he gives her dignity and respect. And then at the same time, he calls her out on everything. And yet he still gives her this grace. She goes off running back to town and tells you exactly what it's like to experience real grace, not counterfeit grace. She goes back and says, come see the Messiah, this man who told me everything I ever did. In other words, he confronted me, right? But he loves me and cares for me. And it changes everything. And she ends up being this like first face of evangelism by going back and sharing this with all the people who hate her. If you look at Jesus' interactions with women in the Scriptures, you will see this same pattern over and over again. Truth, grace, they got to go together, mm-hmm. right? Love, forgiveness, and confrontation, right? Forgiveness, mercy, and a call to transformation, a call to something higher, a call to something better. That is real grace. Please don't settle for a counterfeit version of Jesus or counterfeit version of his grace, because in the end, you will be the other side of Titus chapter 2, verse 11. He won't come back and find you as his people, because his people are transformed by the grace that they encounter. They're changed. It doesn't mean perfect. None of us are going to get this right perfectly, right? But it means when we encounter real grace, it spurs us to be somebody different, right? You cannot encounter the real grace of Jesus and stay the same. You can't. You can hear about it. You can play with it. But you can't encounter the real grace of Jesus and it not begin the transformation process in you, the sanctification process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the justification and the sanctification, they go together. They both come from grace in Jesus, right? Grace from Jesus, faith in Jesus, right? And it changes you. And so if you are encountering a grace that allows you to do whatever you want, that never really confronts you, it's not real grace and it's not real Jesus. It's fake. So This is a good first one to start with.
I agree.
And it's funny that you and I were talking about grace earlier.
I know. I was trying not to cry this whole time.
We weren't talking about it in this way. You were just sitting around saying
in a different way. Yeah.
You were just sitting around saying like you've had this moment in the last week or so where, or maybe more than a week, but at least in the last week where you've just been like, man, God's grace is good. You know what I mean? Like I'm just, you said it in there. You said, I'm just thankful for God's grace.
Yeah.
Crazy. You know, it's cool. And then you were referencing some ways in which you've grown recently, right? Mm-hmm. That's the whole point. That is exactly the point, right? Grace grows us. If grace doesn't grow us, it's not grace.
Right.
Right?
It's not grace.
There's so many parts. That's why we're kind of doing this series. There's so many parts in the Christian faith that the enemy takes and counterfeits it into something fake.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? Because it removes the power from it. So if he can get you and I to not really lean into the real grace of Jesus, then it removes the transformation in our hearts that God wants to happen, right?
Right.
And it just keeps us really the same.
Right. Yeah. And the other thing we were talking about too is how like there's nothing wrong with asking for help. So asking for help from Jesus in these areas that you need to grow in, how else are you going to make that real change?
Yes. And
ask.
And that's what grace gives you the platform to be able to ask for help.
Yep.
Like the whole point is he loves me enough to see me exactly where I am, every single bit of mess, everything I've done, exactly like I am right this moment. He loves me. Which means if that's the case, then I can go to him for any help I want.
Yeah.
Right? Any help I need. I don't have to be scared of it or hold back or anything, right? That's the point. So grace, real grace when you encounter it, I'm glad you said that. Real grace when you encounter it, it lets you know that you can ask for help, and then it enables you to ask for help, right? That's the whole point. You know what I mean? Like you ain't got to be scared, you know? You ain't got to be scared.
So good.
It's like the greatest picture that you and I could ever have. If we sat down and created the perfect earthly father ever, this is what we'd create a picture of, right? Loves us, saves us, finds us, helps us, and at the same time, there ain't nothing you can't bring them.
Right.
You ain't nothing you can't come to them about. I'll give you this last. You made me think of this. So good. What it means to really understand and walk in the grace of Jesus is that when something happens, we don't think to ourselves, oh God, don't let Dad find out about this. We think, oh, let me call my dad.
Yeah.
Right?
So true.
No matter what we do, no matter what we've done, right? Whether it's our doing, whether it's not our doing, like nothing has to be hidden, right? There is nothing left for us. All those who stand in Jesus, there is no condemnation for those who stand in Jesus Christ. Yeah. In other words, that means that every bit of condemnation for our sin was placed on Jesus on the cross. That means all that's left for us is help. That's all that's left, right? And that's, you know, that picture of the that's how I want my kids to be, right? I want my kids, no matter what they've done, I want them to be like, call Dad, right?
Yeah.
Not let me keep this from Dad. You know what I mean? So that's what real grace does for us, is it allows us to, exactly what you said, it allows us to go to the help that's there for us no matter what. And that's what growth is, right?
Yeah.
That's what growth is. So good point. Good one. I'm glad you said that. Anyway, that's all for the first one, Counterfeit Grace. We're going to come back next week with, I believe, Counterfeit Worship. We'll talk about that one next. But this one's probably my favorite so far.
Yes.
I mean, I know it's only the first one we've done, but in what I know is coming, this one's really good. There's another one that we're going to do that's on, I think it's week 3 or 4. It's on Counterfeit Humility. I'm excited about that one too. But yeah.
My goodness. So if you're listening to this, do not be afraid to ask for help from the Lord. His grace is enough for you.
Yep. And we didn't even get into, I think, one of the greatest grace verse in the whole Bible, which is where Paul's talking to him about, I'm praying for you to take this away from me, and I'm struggling with this thorn in the side.
Ooh.
And then he goes, nope, my grace is sufficient.
Yep.
Right? We need to hold on to that. His grace is really sufficient. Now, this counterfeit grace is not sufficient, though. So stop buying it. That's fake. Stop buying it. And if you are in any sort of leadership capacity in somebody's faith walk, right, a parent, a group leader, a church leader, or whatever, stop selling this counterfeit grace, right? Real grace confronts. It convicts. It doesn't just let people stay in the mess that they're in, right? Anyway, that's it. That's all I got.
All right. Well, this is great.
We're done?
Yes.
Okay.
See y'all.
See you later.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.